have Bibles? You need a Bible? Anyone need a Bible? Raise your hand. To the ushers, anyone need Bibles? You guys have got Bibles? You got a Bible? You need a Bible? They need a Bible here. Anyone else need a Bible? You guys need Bibles back there? You guys need Bibles? Good. Just raise your hand, and these guys need Bibles, and they like Bibles, and she needs a Bible. Good. Open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. It's in the New Testament, and we're going to be looking at chapter 12. And I know this is kind of a difficult series, but I do think it's well worth it. And I know it's going to take a little study because it is so hard. But we're doing a theme on a theology of suffering. And I know today people live with suffering. Some of you may be suffering now. I know many of you have suffered in the past, and I know many of us will continue to suffer in the future. So we know life involves suffering. We are a fallen people, and we live in a fallen world, and so suffering will take place. But this morning I want to talk about a theology of suffering, and by that I mean we have to examine God's perspective on suffering. I realize a lot of people don't have God's perspective on suffering, and so what they try to do is they try to figure it out themselves. Boy, is that a mess. I don't even know how we would do that, do you? And so I really think we need to understand God's perspective on suffering, because in our own, I don't know. I was reading a story last night about a man, and I'll tell you his story quickly. True story. It's happening right now, actually. Thanksgiving morning, a normal morning in the Chandler family. Normally a coffee brews itself. Matt wakes up, pours himself a cup of coffee. Black and strong, like always, and then he would sit on the couch. And then he has a little baby, and he would feed the baby, burper, and then put him on his lap and play with her. The next thing Matt knows, he's lying in a hospital bed. What Matt does not remember is that he suffered a seizure, and he collapsed in the kitchen. He doesn't even remember biting his tongue. He does not remember his wife, Lauren, shielding the kids as he shakes on the floor. Or later, even ripping out the IV when he was in the hospital. He remembers nothing. During the ambulance ride, Lauren, his wife, 29 years old, looks back from the passenger seat and sees her husband being restrained. He's looking at her, but he really is looking through her. She texts a woman in her Bible study and asks them to pray for her. At the hospital, man asked his wife, "Honey, what happened to me?" She said, you had a seizure, honey." He realizes that his own two children had seen the whole thing. He asks his wife, are our kids okay?" Tears well up in his eyes. His wife says, "The kids are fine." Matt doesn't feel anything when the radiation penetrates his brain. It could start to burn later in the treatment, but it hasn't been bad this time as he's lying in the hospital. Matt, lanky 6'5" frame, rests on a table at Baylor University Medical Center. He wears the same kind of jeans he wore preaching to 6,000 people at his home church in Flower Mound, Texas, where he is 35 years old and the senior pastor at the church. Another cancer patient Matt has gotten to know spends his time in radiation, imagining that he's playing a round of golf at his favorite course. Matt, on this Monday in January, is reflecting on Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, about the sovereignty of God and making peace with him through the blood of Christ on the cross. Matt's hands are crossed over his chest. He wears a mask with white webbing that keeps his head still, and metal fingers slide into place on the radiation machine, delivering the highest possible dose. This is Matt's new normal. Each weekday, he spends 2 hours in the car, driving from his suburban home to downtown Dallas for 8 minutes of radiation and scripture. You know, suffering's hard to understand, especially in light of our perception of a good God. Wouldn't you agree? It's very difficult. And so this morning, and all during this time of Lent, I really want us to come to an understanding about this. And this morning we'll be reading about actually Paul's pain. And in this case, the greatest pain we experience is often inflicted on us by other people. Other people cause us pain. And actually, the closer they are to us, the more we live with them, the more we love them, actually, the greater vulnerability we have that we could suffer in our relationship with them. This is exactly where we find Paul. When he writes 2 Corinthians, Paul is hurting. He's suffering in a very deep way. Paul has been betrayed. He's been betrayed by the church people, where he had been spending almost 2 years with the people. And he loved the people. He loved those people. He loved them dearly. And they caused him a lot of pain. And so I want you to read this passage as Paul is in his pain, so we can understand what exactly is happening to Paul. So let's open up our Bibles and let's look at 2 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start with verse 1. You all have that? This is Paul speaking. He says, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained in my boasting, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. The Lord had given him a lot of revelation. He said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether he was in the body or not, or out of the body, I don't even know. But God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. But imagine, he was caught up in the paradise. What a wonderful thing that happened to Paul, having an experience with God in heaven. He says he heard inexpressible things while he was in heaven, things that man is not even permitted to talk about. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my own personal weaknesses. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But rather than boast, he says, I refrain. No one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do and by what I say. To keep from becoming conceited, because of these great surpassing revelations that God had given him, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, calls it a messenger of Satan himself. And as Satan came to him and was tormenting him. And so in this torment, suffering that he has, he says, I pleaded 3 times with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. This is the word of the Lord. This morning I want to look at this text, and I want to explain Paul's painful experience. And so I want us, in order to understand that, we have to go back one more chapter to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What would cause a man such turmoil? I mean, it was the deepest pain he had ever had in his whole life. I'm sure you've had your pain, but Paul had his, and this is his. And it actually comes from a false apostle who comes into the church and he's coming from the outside. Can you imagine that happening? It's what happened to Paul. Let's open up to 2 Corinthians 11 and see what happened in this church. Paul spent 2 years in, and he loved the people. He says in verse 4, he says, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached." Paul had not preached another Jesus. He said, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or if a different gospel, which you may have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Underlying the word, he who comes. See that in verse 4? He who comes, he says. In this verse, he's talking about a false prophet, a false teacher, who actually comes into the church. Historically, we know about this man. We know that he had a fascination with rhetoric, and he was very good at oratory skills. But he was also a man who was influenced by the culture, by the Greek culture, and he was very influenced by the philosophy of the Greeks, not from God. But he comes into the church. It's going to bring a havoc into that church. And when he gets in the church, if you read in 2 Corinthians 11:5, he starts to speak against Paul. He actually says in verse 5, if you'll read there, he actually tells the people that he is superior to Paul. He said, "I am the true apostle. Paul is not." And he scoffs at Paul and he lies about Paul in the church. Paul's concern was for the members of the church. And he was afraid or concerned that they would accept the lies of this false teacher and this false prophet. Can you understand that? I mean, it tormented him. He was devastated by this. He couldn't even function, I believe. He says there in verse 4, you see what he says? "You may well put up with it." Paul could not handle that. He could not handle the fact that he had come to these people. He loved them. He was their true pastor. And now he knows what's going on inside the church, and he's concerned that the people can't discern, like, who's the right apostle, who's the true shepherd. And he said, I'm not sure. And he got very concerned about it. He's not sure that the people in that church who he loved could actually figure out the truth. Can you imagine that happening in a church? Let me tell you, it happens a lot. I got 2 other pastors here today. I'm a third, and I can tell you it happens almost in every church. Now, Paul has 3 concerns about that man, and I want you to see what they are. This man is preaching in the church. And what's he preaching? I want you to underline the 3 things the man preached. He says in verse 4, this false prophet who's coming to you is going to preach what? Read it. Another Jesus. Okay? That's the first thing. Imagine preaching another Jesus. And then he says to them, he's going to talk about a different spirit. Not the Holy Spirit that Paul was talking about. He's going to bring in another spirit to the church. That can happen to a church. And he says, there's a 3rd thing Paul's concerned about. What is it? There's a different gospel. Paul taught them the true gospel. This man taught them a false gospel. This was like driving a stake through the heart of Paul. It was. It was like driving a stake through the man's heart. I don't think any physical pain could match this pain. I don't think an economic disaster in Paul's life could even match the kind of pain that Paul had. I don't believe that being shipwrecked and beaten and whipped matched this pain in Paul's life. This pain was deep inside the man's heart. He loved them. He was their true shepherd. And he brought them, think about it, he brought them to Christ. He stayed with them for 2 years and he discipled them. And then he leaves and a false prophet shows up to destroy the church. He couldn't handle it. This false teacher in the church would turn the people against him. And this would bring him his deepest suffering he has ever experienced in his whole life. So I want to lay some foundations about this, because this is what happened in the church. And we see his suffering. And so I want to lay some foundation about suffering. We talk about a theology of suffering. I want to establish three principles this morning. And the first one is this. First principle from, again, from God's perspective. It might not be yours, but from God's perspective. In Paul's life, you have that up there, in Paul's life, suffering happens, happens to God's people because God allowed it. God allowed this situation to happen. Actually, in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul knows the whole thing, God's over it. Okay, he's suffering, but he knows God's in charge. If you read in 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul actually says these words, there was given to me. This whole thing was given to me. This circumstance that was happening in the church, this pain, he says, was given to him. Paul knew the suffering was sent by God. And he actually says why. He says it was to keep him humble. His suffering was to keep him relying on God. I don't know if that would be your understanding of suffering, but from God's perspective, the first principle we must establish is God, he permits it. Do you remember in Job chapter 2, verse 6, God permitted Satan to assault Job? Do you remember that? He allowed that. Do you remember in Luke 22, verse 3, when Jesus comes to Peter and says to Peter, Satan has come to sift you? Do you remember that? See, what's Jesus doing? He's allowing it. He's allowing the suffering. And so we must understand that. But the second principle I think we all need to understand, and so, so important, and that is always to remember that God has a purpose in permitting the suffering. And you're going to see that. He has a purpose for it. It's not just to suffer for suffering's sake. God's going to do something in that man's suffering. And the third purpose I want us to establish in our theology is, and this is so important, and you can think of Job and you can think of Peter. The purpose of the suffering is to bring the person to a deeper spiritual level beyond where they currently are at. You understand that? They are in one place. Spiritually, they are experiencing suffering and turmoil, and there's a purpose. God's going to break through, and they're going to come up to a higher level of spirituality. Amen? So those are the three, and we need to be rooted in those. So here's the question. Why? Why would God allow Paul to suffer in his deepest suffering that he's ever had? Why? Why would God allow that? A demon-inspired group of false teachers to come in and tear up a church. That's the question, right? Why? Why would God allow that suffering to happen? We have to look at that. What would God accomplish in the life of Paul and in the people's life through this? We got to ask this question. Are you with me? We have to ask the question. And so this is the question, and I want to examine this. We can't be afraid of it. Okay, don't be afraid of it. You cannot be afraid of this. What we're going to actually see in this, when you read more, is going to be that God has a reason. He has a reason for Paul. Can you imagine that? And he's got a reason for the church, although it created such havoc. And I believe that if we could break through and understand the deep things of God, I believe they can become an anchor for our soul in a time of hardship and suffering. Couldn't you believe that? Would you believe that? I believe that in my whole heart. But I do believe there has to be a breakthrough. And I do believe there has to be understanding. And without that, I think we're all left with conditions in our lives that could destroy us. And so we must look. But let them become the anchor of your soul as you come to understand. It'll bring you life like you've never had it before. And so that is the question. And I really want to go through in this situation and give you the answer of really what happened as we ask that question. And the first thing is this. God used the suffering to reveal Paul's spiritual condition and his spiritual character. It's true. It's difficult to really know the truth about anyone. Doesn't matter who they are. Spiritually, when things in their life is going well. Believe me, you will never figure out the depth of a person's spiritual life when things are going good. When they say, my job is going good, I just got a promotion, I've got my investments in the stock market, they're growing, my family's doing great. You won't learn anything about the depth of that person's spiritual life. You just won't. See, our true spiritual condition is going to be revealed in suffering. Is that not true? When everything is stripped away? When you take away the prosperity of a person, when you take away their success in the job, when you take away their family, what are you left with? That is their true spiritual condition. Everything's gone. Only what can be seen in a person's life will be their spiritual condition. And this is exactly what God was trying to accomplish. Can you believe God would do that? Can you believe God would do that just for that? The answer is absolutely yes. Because it's exactly what he does. Everything's gone. Everything is peeled off now. Whoever that person is, spiritually, will be revealed. Now, the interesting thing about this is, not only did God want to do this, but do you remember that Paul wanted to do this too? Paul actually prayed for this. Paul actually, in his life, said to God, reveal my integrity. He's actually saying to God, I want to be credible to the people. Show the members of the church how much I love God. Let it be revealed that I'm a faithful man. Let it be revealed that I am the true apostle. I want it done too, God. That's what I want done in my life. Wow. Would you ever pray that way? You see, there was no better way for Paul's spiritual character to be revealed than in the midst of his deepest suffering. Would you not agree? In his deepest suffering, it would be revealed, guys. And he was not afraid of that. Actually, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, Paul said this. And don't forget, the false apostle is in the church. The people in the church, they're in havoc. It's a mess. They don't really know who to believe. Listen to what Paul says in verse 6. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:6, he said, I'm not going to boast, so no one will think more of me than what is warranted by what I do and by what I say. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying in the midst of his suffering, what's he saying? Take a look at my life. Can you imagine that? I mean, he is grieving. I mean, it is very, very difficult. And what's he saying? Take a look at me. I want you to see my true spiritual condition. Wow. By what I do and by what I say. Watch me carefully. You'll figure out the true prophet. You'll figure out the true gospel. It's awesome. God is working. Paul is suffering, no doubt. But he's not full of anger, and he's not bitter. Do you understand that? He's not. Suffering, but not bitter, not angry. He's hurt, but he's not attacking the people. Can you imagine that? He's devastated, but he's not angry at God. He's not speaking ill will against the people. He's not doing any of that. What's happening? His spiritual condition is being shown. Now, I'm grateful. Aren't you? Imagine if it was a different man. And he's suffering too. But the spiritual man's not coming out of him. Imagine a man whose flesh is coming out of him in his suffering. What will he do? He will do the opposite of Paul. He will do what the false prophet did in the church. He will backbite Paul. He will preach another gospel. He will verbally attack Paul and anybody who comes in his way. He will be critical. He will be negative. And he will be judgmental. This man will suffer, but he is going to move away from God. Do you understand that? And Paul says, let it be. Let it be. Wow. This is amazing. His spiritual character is being revealed in the suffering. He doesn't get out of the suffering. He's suffering. The man is suffering. His heart is devastated by the people. But I want you to know something. Think of it. But the people, they're seeing the truth. Is it worth it? Yes. The people now can discern a man who is walking by the Spirit of God and a man who is walking by the flesh. Can you understand that? Now, Paul is suffering and he's trying to emulate Christ. And now the people can say, well, look at Paul. He's following Jesus. He's the real deal. And they're going to look at the other man. And they're going to say, this man is a charlatan. He's a fake. What's happening in the suffering? Everything is being revealed. And the people now can be set free. Why? Because God has a purpose. Is it hard sometimes to see the purpose? Absolutely. But in this, when you study it, it's crystal clear. God is doing a work. Awesome. You know, I guess the question for all of us is, When you're suffering, let me ask you, when you're suffering and when your life is all messed up and things aren't going well, your spiritual character is being revealed, correct? To who? Nate said it right. To everybody. Sometimes we think no one sees. Everyone sees. Why? They're watching you very carefully. You said you're a follower of Christ. You said you knew the gospel. Now they watch. Everybody's watching. What would your life reveal in your suffering to other people who are watching? And don't think no one's watching. Everybody's watching you. And you're either going to do one of two things. You're either going to show the true Jesus, or you're going to show a false Jesus. You're going to show a true spiritual life, or you're going to show a fake one. Amen? You will reveal it, guys. It is the purpose of God that it's revealed. Wow. I guess the question has to be, does your suffering and my suffering help somebody else? That's really the question, isn't it? Like when you're going through these agonizing things in your life, does it help other people? Or are you a hindrance to them spiritually because you're bitter and angry? Things are coming out of you that should never come out of your mouth. You see, there's got to be a breakthrough, right? How many know there's got to be a breakthrough in all of our life? How many of you have had that breakthrough? Where you understand that how you live is so very, very important. When you suffer, especially when you're suffering. I've suffered. I remember one day, I didn't think I really understood it. I needed a breakthrough too. In my suffering, I remember Pastor Allen coming to me one day and saying to me, Pastor, don't waste such a great crisis in your life. Pastor Allen telling me not to waste a crisis in my life. Do you understand what he was saying to me? See, what he's saying to me is, people are watching. How will you respond in your suffering and in your hurt and your pain? It's not going away. But what he was really saying was, yes, suffer. And come to an understanding of where you are spiritually. Don't waste your suffering. Please don't waste. How many of you have gone through it? You've wasted your suffering. There's been no breakthrough. The third principle was what? God wants to break through. See, he wants to reveal something first to you about your suffering and your spiritual character. Correct? And he wants to remind you. Other people are going to watch you. And what you do with your suffering is going to affect them. Has that happened? How many say, Pastor, I understand these. I get what's going on. Some of you do. I know some of you do. I want to encourage you. Don't waste your suffering. And come out and realize that God wants to strengthen you spiritually. Come out and say, you know what, I'm actually getting stronger in this. My spiritual life is actually getting strong. How many know your spiritual life can actually get stronger in your suffering? Amen. You get that? How many of you get that or not? See, if you don't get that, it's going to be impossible for you to grow. But if you say, Pastor, I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get closer to God. I'm going to depend on God like I've never depended on God. Why? Because you get to a place and you go, I can't make it. How many of you are there? I go, God, I am suffering so much, I can't make it. A lot of people do that. But it's what you do after that. I can now turn to God and say to God, help. This is so painful. I don't think I'm going to get through this. Help. Right? Or I could be over here and say, help, and go inside myself, right? And isolate and handle it myself. And so what have you done? You've wasted your suffering. There's no answer inside yourself. People see you as having a life that doesn't reflect the gospel, doesn't reflect the real Jesus. Amen? Think it was worth it to Paul? I do. Because in the end, I believe when the people really saw it, Paul was very well pleased. In his suffering, he saw the people free. And you know what? He loved those people. He loved those people more than he loved himself. He's a true pastor, right, guys? You guys are pastors. You understand. He's a true pastor. He would rather see it happen to him and see the people free. A true pastor. Amen? Right? That's what a true pastor does, guys. That's what a true parent does. That's what a true follower of Christ really does. Is it easy? No. I don't make this easy. Sometimes I struggle with it myself and I'm still trying to figure it out. But I have the Word of God before me. And I can read and understand what happened. And I can ask God to break into my life to reveal the depth of the revelation that God was showing him so that he could be free and those around him could be free. What do you think? It's awesome, guys. You know, maybe you're here today and you say to me, hey, Pastor, I'm suffering myself. Mentally, I am overwhelmed. Emotionally, one more thing and I'm over the edge. Physically, I'm drained beyond anything. Let me be clear. God wants you and me to depend on him.
Amen.
Good theology of suffering? Yes. It's what you do with your suffering. I love what Jesus says. Jesus said in the gospel, come unto me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. You choose. In your suffering. I really want to encourage you. I believe God is a God of all comfort. I believe when my life and your life get so messed up, you don't even know what to do, your spiritual life will be revealed. And the truth of whether you really want to turn to God or not will be revealed. And I pray for you that in those moments, when it's revealed, you have authentic relationship with God. You know the depth of the love that God has for you. You know the comfort he can give you. And in those moments when you're devastated, you turn to God for everything you need.
Amen.
That will be revealed. You believe that? I do. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you every week to come back on Sunday. Because I'm not going to let this go. People are suffering. And they're suffering everywhere. We must understand. We must understand a biblical view of suffering from God. It is the only way. You guys okay with this? As far as I'm concerned, it's going to be awesome. So let's pray today. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for today, God. And Lord, we read the havoc of how you allowed that false prophet teacher to get into that church and cause such confusion, such turmoil, such hurt among the people, such division, God, among the people. But Lord, you also exposed the spirituality of the people in Paul. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us, God, that in our suffering, in our turmoil, we would turn to you. We would know that you and you alone are the answer for our pain. You and you alone will comfort us and help us, God. Our trust is completely in you, Lord, and you alone. Bless the people with this, Lord. May your revelation break through, and may all of our lives change. And God, may they bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. God bless you.